the sound of chainsaws in the background, busily reducing the size of some small trees which are being coppiced here in Brampton Wood, something that's gone on for, George, how long?
Oh, thousands of years. Coppicing is just a way of managing woodland where you get the most production out of the wood. Every time you cut a tree down, it grows up again. I mean, a classic example is if you had an ash tree and you left one single trunk grow to its full height in a big open space, it would live for 200 years. If you coppice it every 20 years, which is cut it back down to the ground and let it grow again, it would live for 800 years. And it would have multiple stems. Every time you coppice, then the stool produces new stems. Instead of having just one trunk to produce one plank of wood, you might have half a dozen trunks producing half a dozen planks of wood. So it's just an effective way of managing woodland. You get more production, you get straighter stems, which are more useful for your timber, and you still get as much firewood.
Because it looks incredibly destructive, but is now that you've explained a couple of times, because you came over to deliver some of this firewood, which was a year old, and because a lot of this is firewood, of course, to raise money for the Wildlife Trust. And it kind of made so much sense to me, although having grown up alongside and inside a wood for some of my childhood, I always knew it went on. I just thought it was the harvesting of wood.
It is the harvesting of wood, but we're not killing the tree. When you cut a broad-leaved British native tree down, native trees like oak, ash, beech, you know, hawthorn, blackthorn, which we have in abundance in this wood, when you cut it down, you're not killing the tree. It then sprouts again from the stool that you leave. We don't dig the roots out, you just leave the stool. The stool sprouts again, multiple stems come up. They grow at the same rate as one stem, so why not have three or four stems, or even half a dozen stems, or even 20 stems if it's a hazel, growing at exactly the same pace. And trees that are coppiced, on a cycle every 20 years, every 15 years, whatever it is, you know, produce more wood, they live longer, it's better for wildlife, you get this age structure in the wood. We're not coppicing the whole of the wood, we only coppice about 2 acres a year out of a wood of 327 acres.
So I know a lot of it wouldn't necessarily be accessible, but that's so much area that you would never see the whole of this wood coppiced in your lifetime.
No, we're working at Brampton Wood at the moment on what we call ride side coppicing. There are three main rides in the wood, ride being an old name for road. It's simply where the horses and carts used to go from Brampton to Buckden to Kimbolton to Grafham to Ellington. They're the old roads through the wood, and they're quite wide because in the olden days, you had to turn your horse and cart round. So you need a wide road as such to be able to turn your horse and cart. And even before that, there were oxen and carts. So you needed an especially wide area to turn your oxen and carts round. It's those areas which are best for wildlife because they get the most sun, they're the warmest areas. In the depths of the forest, it's quite dark, it's quite damp, it's quite cool. And it's not very good for wildflowers, it's not very good for insects. But the rides are where 80% of all the wildlife in this wood live. And by doing rideside coppicing, cutting the trees down at the sides of the rides, we let more sunshine, more warmth onto the rides.
And a lot of this work, well, all of this work, is it volunteers?
Yeah, no, everything. I'm a volunteer. I've got three other wardens who helped me out immensely. They're volunteers. Everyone here, there's a dozen people here today, are all volunteers. We get out there, we call it the Green Gym, because it's a beautiful day, we're outside in the sunshine, we're keeping fit, we're making friends. It's
and
great
just
fun.
About to cook up a splendid lunch, it seems.
Every now and again we decide we'll have a cook up, so we've got we take some ash from the bonfire. Alison over there is producing this pasta stew, and we've got baked potatoes and cheese and beans. We've got an American guy with us today who's brought all sorts of unusual hickory beans from America, from we get some off the airbase. We're going to have a bit of a feast, but
no munt jack.
No.
That's possible, isn't it?
It is possible. It takes a fair bit of cooking. We control the munt jack here. We have to, otherwise they would eat all the young trees. The one thing they love more than anything is young saplings. And if we didn't control the muntjac, we wouldn't have any new trees coming up to replace the old ones that die. So it is possible for us to cook muntjac. We get it from the stalkers who send it on to the butchers, the licensed butchers who deal with the animal. But yeah, we can get muntjac here, but we've only got a short period.
What does it taste like? Is it a tiny little deer?
It tastes like venison. Some venison experts would say it's got a slightly different flavour from the normal roe deer, red deer. But you know, those of us who buy venison from most butchers or most restaurants, it's farmed venison. You know, they're fed. Yeah. They're fed corn. They're fed hay. In the same way that cows and pigs are. But here, the deer are totally wild. They eat what is produced in the wood, the grasses, the young trees. We don't always like that because, they like wild flowers and we like our bluebells and our primroses.
Well, what a feast, what a salad for a muntjac. I'm fascinated that this used to be an ancient thoroughfare. I mean, it still is a thoroughfare.
It still is.
For walkers and people who want to enjoy the wood. Would there have been like bandits and such like happening around here?
Well, it's possible. It is possible. I mean, it wasn't, the A1, the main thoroughfare, Dick Turpin and all that lot, is a couple of miles over away outside the woods. So that would have been the main thoroughfare. These were kind of local routes, right, just to get produce. You see, the produce from the wood, as in firewood, as in timber, as in charcoal, would have been taken on horses and carts to local markets in local villages. So, we now get the coal man to deliver us, or we have gas and electricity. In the old days, you went to market and bought your firewood, bought your charcoal. So the wood is a bit more like an industrial estate. It's the modern Jewsons. Sorry, it's not the modern Jewsons, it's the old Jewsons, if I'm allowed to quote a brand.
There are other wood suppliers around, yeah.
Yeah, there are other wood suppliers around, yeah. There would have been a lot of people working here. They would have been felling the trees on a regular basis. They would have been making wooden implements here. Why take it somewhere else when you can work in the wood? There would have been sheep and pigs and goats grazing under the trees. We have a lot of scrub here, which is great for, nightingales, wildlife. All sorts of wildlife lives in under the trees, in the scrub. In the olden days, it would be more pasture. The technical name for this in the Domesday Book, this wood was recorded in the Domesday Book in 1086 as wood pasture. So it's producing wood and it's feeding animals. And it did that for hundreds of years. It's only really now we have farmed animals in, open fields, that the need for wood pasture has gone away, really.
Wow. Well, I can picture the wild boar and such like roaming. This fantastic day for it. You couldn't have picked a better day.
Yeah, because it's going to rain tomorrow. Well, we have had days here where it's just poured down with rain and we've had to pack up and go home.
Can't light the fires.
Today's all right. Yeah. Well, we can light the fires, but who wants to work in the rain,
For no money.
For no money, yeah.
For the love. It's been really enjoyable. I'm glad I was able to chip in and capture a few images and stories.
Well, thanks for coming, Christian. We do appreciate reporters who muck in and do some work.
That's all I've done, really. I should do more documenting. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. Where can people find out where they can go to volunteer?
Well, they can always phone me. 01480450809. We're a couple of miles outside Huntingdon, but if you want to come from anywhere, then it's fine. If you go on the Wildlife Trust Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Northamptonshire website, you'll see details of Brampton Wood and contact details there. See, it's wildlifetrustbcn.org. There are signs at the entrance to the wood if you know where it is, and phone numbers and website numbers are on there.
Thank you so much. Think fitness in the outdoors in an ancient woodland. I see some freshly hewn tree stump stools in a circle awaiting the kind of after Christmas celebration of the volunteers, where they will feast down in between a packed lunch normally, I guess.
Yeah, it's packed lunch normally, yeah.
Don't let that put you off.
This year's a special. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.